Empower Radio presents The Farkas Files, an exploration of energy, metaphysics, and the paranormal with David Franklin Farkas. The Farkas Files. The truth is in here, somewhere. Here's your host, David Franklin Farkas.
Good evening. Thank you, one and all, for being with us and sharing a little bit of your time wherever you are and whenever you're listening to this, because that's part of the magic of this. You can listen to it whenever it's convenient. And I'm always amazed at what we can do with the technology at this point. So we're going to have some fun tonight with my guest, Sabrina Fritz, who has an incredible personal story and is doing some wonderful work. But right now, tonight's metaphysical musing. And unless you're under a rock, you know that the United States is in its election cycle, and things are just getting crazier. Oh, my goodness. Every time I think it can't get crazier, it gets crazier. So in dark times, what does one do? Well, the old saying is, don't curse the darkness, light a candle, which is a nice metaphor. But how exactly do you do that? I mean, part of it is don't fuss over what you don't like. Focus on and pray for what you want, so that you're giving energy to the outcome that you're looking for instead of giving energy to what you don't want. Basic metaphysics, metaphysics 101. Focus on what you want. That gives it energy. That brings it into reality. But how? So one of the things that I have mentioned over and over again, and it's certainly in times like these something to remember, is the Hawaiian healing method, Ho'oponopono, which means basically making things right. And I was very fortunate to spend some time with Dr. E. Haleakala Hugh Len, who is the major teacher for this method. And it's really fascinating because the point of view is that there's crazy stuff going on in the world. And anything that you see in your world is a part of you and something that's manifested out of your consciousness. So you have some responsibility for it. The problem is that the crazy stuff is stuff that you didn't come up with. It's stuff that he now calls bad data. It's just there. You've been told this stuff. It's the stories of your society. It's the stuff on the news. It's the things that your relatives have told you your whole life. It's stuff that's left over from other generations. And all of that is running in your internal processing system, and it's junk. It's bad data, and it's creating stuff in the world that is not what you intend to do. You may be absolutely clear on the beauty you want to create in the world, but there's all this other stuff going on. And so the process is basically a conversation with your higher self, or however you want to look at the part of yourself that connects to divinity, saying, I want to dissociate myself from all this bad stuff that's running through me and creating bad stuff in the world. And so it's a forgiveness process, and it's really, really easy. So pick up something to write with and write down these four statements. I love you. Please forgive me. I love you. I am sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. So I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. And what you're asking for forgiveness about is being part of this system of crazy bad data. You're not asking to be forgiven for something that you did consciously. It's the stuff that's just kind of running through. And as you do that, and as you say, no, this, I know this is part of me, but it's not the part, it's not a conscious part of me. I don't want to be doing this. As you let that go, life changes. And the story that he tells from his life, he's not only a very powerful healer in his tradition, but he's also a psychologist, and he worked at the most dangerous psychiatric hospital for the criminally insane in Hawaii, place where people were constantly getting, the staff was getting hurt, the patients were very violent, nobody was happy. And his job was not to treat patients. His job was to sit in a little office and do what's called records review. He would read all the paperwork and read all the stories about all these people and make sure that everything made sense and find whatever errors there were. And as he did it, he would work on himself, do the Ho'oponopono process. And so he would look at somebody's story and say, "I'm sorry. Please forgive me." He was taking responsibility for having created all the stories in the hospital. Making a very fascinating and long story short, two or three years after he started working at the hospital, the place had calmed down. People were starting to go out on into the community for visits. People were starting to leave because in the past, most people stayed there their whole lives. The staff was no longer getting hurt. And eventually, they had to close the hospital because they no longer had any patients being admitted. How powerful is it to take responsibility for every crazy thing that's going on in the world and opt out of it? Very powerful. Very, very powerful. So I encourage you to experiment with Ho'oponopono, focusing on not just the crazy stuff in the world, but you know, anything in your life. And I've seen extraordinary results with it. And one of the things it gives you is when you're looking at things and it's totally crazy and you're starting to get wound up and fussing about it, you have something that you can do about it. You can just sit quietly and say the statements as your mantra and watch the world change. So that's tonight's metaphysical musing. And I hope we all can do Ho'oponopono and change this crazy stuff that's going on. And let's have some fun with tonight's guest, Sabrina Fritz. Thank you so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, David. It's my pleasure.
And part of our connection is we both write for an online magazine called The Magic Happens, which is a wonderful project. And I know the founders of that group. Actually, Kat McCarthy was on the show, and we talked about the beginnings of The Magic Happens. But I know that
Kat is wonderful, isn't she?
What's that?
I said Kat is wonderful, isn't she?
Oh. Yeah, Kat's great, and we've known each other, we can't figure out how long. You know, it's at least 12 years, and so I've watched all the dramas unfold. And yeah, she's a sweetheart, and Peter's a sweetheart. They're just wonderful people, and the project they put together is incredible. So, little plug for them: go to themagichappens.com, check it out. But I know that you have a personal story that's really fascinating and just the kind of thing that we talk about here all the time about how life unfolds and turns into a walkabout and things change. So I would love for you to share that with us. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, it seems like we need to get Sabrina back on the line. One of the things, as you all know, I love talking about people's stories and about the moment in time when things change. Oh, there you are.
I am. I have to tell you, David, my energy was ramping up and I have to watch myself because that interferes with technology, back when you were talking about how technology is fun, it still limits us tremendously in this physical reality.
Well, and I'm another person that can, I haven't been able to wear a wristwatch for most of my life. As soon as I started doing healing work, I started blowing them up. And there certainly are other electronic devices that crash and burn if I keep them in my hand for too long. One of the things that we learned here, because there was a gal on the show just before me who used to do live readings on the show, and the electronics in the studio would go crazy. We're very familiar with the problems caused by people's energy. But what I was asking was, you know, that the story of your life unfolding and the major changes that happened.
Well, you know, David, like so many people, I was out there living the life that I guess I was born to live in many ways, or what society had expectations. I had a career in human resources, so good old corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
Had 3 children, a husband, a mortgage, doing all the right things, quote unquote, that I was supposed to be doing in life, and gritting my teeth and grinding them at night because of stress. And for some reason, knowing that I was meant for more. And I actually went through an incredibly stressful period of my life where I was close to my breaking point. And I can remember just surrendering to whatever, whoever would listen. And at that point in my life, I had actually turned away from organized religion, given my upbringing in Catholic school and that indoctrination that really solidified my unworthiness issues in life. And was on a little path of seeking, but, you know, I had those glimpses of spiritual awakenings that typically got swept under the rug because I had responsibilities, you know, I had a big to-do list and didn't really make time for that inner connection. And so it was a very unsatisfying life, although I call it surface happy. On the surface, I was very happy. I had a loving husband and relationship and great kids, but, you know, I just knew there was something more. And when I asked whoever might be listening in that moment, you know, please show me, there has to be something more than this. I made the determination at that point to start pursuing those spiritual glimpses, figured that was the best course of action to find it. So I was going to yoga and meditation groups with a couple girlfriends and reading some books and feeling pretty proud of myself when I found myself being forced into a rollover accident. And it occurred on a mountain highway where I live with my 2 daughters in the car. And I knew it was happening. I couldn't prevent it from happening, honking the horn, driving away from the other car, doing everything I could, but the accident was inevitable. And in that moment when I knew I couldn't stop what was happening, that's when I made a proclamation to, again, whoever was listening. At that point, it felt like my angels, help us get through this. Help us get through this. And I repeated that mantra and also made a deal and said, if one of something happens to either of my daughters, I'm not sticking around. I cannot stay. That was not a lesson I wanted to learn in this lifetime, and one I was pretty sure I wouldn't survive.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make it quick if that was going to be the case. Well, inevitably, we ended up on all 4, divinely protected, unharmed, and I knew without a doubt my angels had saved us. I told the burly truck driver that when he informed me he called 911. He looked at me a little strangely, but I had no doubt. And that seemed to be confirmed the next day when I cleaned out my car, and as it was totaled, one of the remnants from my Catholic upbringing was the guardian angel visor clip in my car to protect me as I drove, and those I passed by, you know. And those things have a death grip on those visors. I mean, when you remove it, there's a permanent indentation left, you know. And I'm cleaning out my car, and it's not on the visor, and I look everywhere underneath the seats, between the consoles, everywhere I could think, and it was gone. And I absolutely knew they took it. They took it to let me know they were, in fact, there. And they did hear my pleas for help, and they protected me. mm-hmm. and my daughters. And things shifted after that point. I mean, I knew I was alive for a reason, and I was even more determined to find out why. Now, 2 weeks after that accident, I, of course, went to a metaphysical fair because there was a woman there on presenting on the topic, communicating with your angels. And I needed to find out. I mean, they were definitely in my life, and I wanted to communicate with them. I wanted to find ways to deepen that connection. And as I heard her, well, I arrived with my friend and my youngest daughter in a stroller, and I asked my angels to guide me to the most appropriate person to do a reading for me. And they guided me through this maze and large crowd of people until I stopped and to this counter, and I saw this image. It was a drawing and had the central figure look like a bowling pin. And around that central figure, there was these other bowling pin shaped objects with various colors. And I read the description and it said, you know, a print or artwork of your angels, a drawing of your angels. And I was like, this is what I need. I want to see their energy. I want to know what they're like. And so I signed up for the reading, happened to be the woman that was there doing the presentation on communicating with your angels, of course.
Right.
So I signed up after her presentation. And during that, she's talking about how she's had all these near-death experiences and like a radio frequency is around her all the time. She tunes into one person. She knows what their angels are saying and she gives them that information. And she says, and there's somebody here like me, but I was so dismissive because I was really focused on my youngest daughter and keeping, you know, she's 3.5 years old, keeping her quiet and mm-hmm. not to disturb anyone else. Because if she did, of course, that would be a reflection on me as a mother. Right. So, and I laugh at these things now because I can see how uptight and controlling I really was and how I had to have something like a rollover accident to get my attention. And during the reading, she doesn't give me a drawing. She immediately connects with my angels, tells me about my rollover, and tells me I have a list of 16 things to do before I go back. Now, that really pissed me off, honestly, because I am already stressed out, overworked, underappreciated, and now
list.
God yeah. rejected me, right? So, and I have things to do before I can even go back. But I listened, and I was given 8 things that day. And from that point on, it's not like a checklist. I don't have most of them. The only tangible item on that list was homeschool. Everything else is pretty much either emotional or consideration of thought. Now, that was on my list. And I have to tell you, that's one of the most powerful things because that's really where I shifted. And you alluded to this in the whole Ho'oponopono is so perfect for that because it's our thoughts, it's our beliefs, the constant thoughts that we have that create our beliefs that create the reality in which we experience.
Right. And most
and
of that.
And I was creating a reality that was pretty hard and stressful.
Yeah, and most of that's unconscious. It's running as background music.
Exactly. It is. That's that subconscious tape that's constantly, and we're not even aware of it until we do become aware of it. And it's like I say, once you know something, you can't not know it.
Right.
And when you have that big dramatic shift in perception, like I did, there's no turning back. And it's even when the people that are closest to you are looking at you quite strangely because you're no longer that same person they fell in love with or married or...
Right.
That has been raising it. I joke that my 27-year-old daughter has had at least two different mothers in her lifetime.
Right. You know?
And yeah, it's a wonderful thing. And I know that that accident happened, if you want to call it an accident, in order to get me to pay attention to what's important in life. And it was not all those things that society had told me was important.
Right.
Yes, it's important to be able to support your family and put a roof over the head, but that's their heads and food on the table, but that's not the only thing. And when you're doing it because you feel obligated versus being able to really do the things that make your heart sing, you're doing a huge disservice to your children. And that's what I learned as I was teaching them exactly the life that I don't want them to have for themselves. One of hard work and stress.
Right. Right. So how did you wind up doing the healing and counseling work that you do now?
Well, of course, actually, it was during that reading. my angels had advised me to have a reconnection. and I had never heard of the reconnection.
Mm-hmm.
And she told the woman who was doing the reading, said, jot this down. And she gave me the name of Dr. Eric Pearl. And when I came home, I looked it up. She said, it's $333. Doesn't matter if you're penniless or a millionaire. And I looked it up when I went home, and I'm like, this is for me. I didn't really understand what it was about. It was pretty far out there, outside of my traditional, logical, analytical mind reality, where it's working on the quantum field, hands off. I can remember telling my husband, I said, I need to have this reconnection. And he's like, well, what is it? And some they draw these lines, but they don't touch your body, and it reconnects you to the earth and universe. And I said, I can't really explain, and I just know I need to have it done. And he's like, you're paying $333 and you're not even getting a massage. You know, like waving the hands in the air, that's going to do it. And, you know, honestly, I went in, I had it done, and things really did start to shift. I noticed a reduction in stress. I noticed the elimination of allergies, seasonal allergies. So that was kind of a physical healing I was having. But it was more along the emotional and mental healings that I was experiencing that were more profound. The way I was showing up in the world, the way fear was being exposed. You know, fear was always one of those things that was just there in the background. It was just a way of life. It was just part of who I became after years of indoctrination into our society. You know, and that's the thing. We're not born with fear. It's just something right. that we tend to pick up along the way. And when I noticed things changing, my intuition was becoming much more heightened as well. But that didn't stop me from dismissing the messages to go to learn this work. I had a career. And it was a pretty sane career, you know, and I wasn't learning to wave my hands over people to facilitate healing. It was grounded, and definitely people wouldn't judge me so harshly, you know. And as you can tell, I definitely have a fear of judgment. I guess it's just something that's always been there in the background as well.
Right.
But I did, and I gave in to the messages. Well, actually, when a friend got the messages, she didn't let me off the hook. So I signed up for the training the day before and went to 2.5 days of training, and that everything changed after that. I was introduced to a world where the unseen was more familiar and known than that which I could see or feel or taste. And that was exciting. That was definitely something different.
Indeed. I'm just laughing because that's my world.
And it's a much more fun world to play in, I tell you. And that's what I found through that process of working with these universal frequencies with myself and others, and that, you know, we really did come here for the joy of it.
Right.
And we've right. lost sight of that because we let our life obligations, our to-do list, tend to take priority. You know, our own self-care, self-indulgence was on my list. And self-indulgence, I was like, what does that mean exactly? You know, and it was almost a foreign concept to me. But I tell you what, I've learned to embrace that. And by doing so, I'm a much better example to positive parenting to my children than I was right. when I absolutely was killing myself to do everything for them.
Well, we will continue this after the break, but I want to make sure people know how to find you online.
Yeah, well, I have my website at sabrinafritz.com, which is S-A-B-R-I-N-A. And it's F-R-I-T-T-S as in Sam.
Which is, I've never seen that spelling before.
I tell people if you spell it wrong, you spell it right. But I'm smart because I also have Sabrina Fritz with a traditional spelling going to my domain. So no worries.
Right, right. Made it very easy. And the magazine that we both write for is The Magic Happens. People can find that at themagichappens.com, and you've got articles in there. I've got articles in there, and lots of other wonderful people. So yeah. I encourage people to take a look. So we will be back shortly, unless, of course, we get taller. My guest tonight is Sabrina Fritz, and we will be back in a few minutes on the Farkas Files. This is David Franklin Farkas. Don't go nowhere.
Styling your hair every day, and do you want a good hairstyle every day? Hi, I'm Sarah Schuster. I went on a website called InventNow.org, and after that, I decided to invent something too. Something called the InstaDo. Just imagine, you just put it over your head like a helmet does, and you pick your hairstyle with the buttons on the side, and you can have instant hairstyle in seconds. People like it. People like Jeff Bart.
I like it.
And people like Kenneth.
It's this helmet thing, and it fits over your head, and it's great.
Thank you, Kenneth. You should go to inventnow.org, and it could help you come up with your own invention. After all, look at me on the radio now.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions, or just play some games at inventnow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over a million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Danger at the Old Well.
Last one to the old well's a rotten egg!
Ha ha! I win!
Whoa! Ah! Sassy! Johnny fell down the well!
I'm wet!
What, Sassy? You know where Mr. Gunderson keeps his rope? Go get it, girl! What? You'd rather use this time to set people straight about shelter pet adoption?
I'm cold!
People shouldn't be afraid to adopt from a shelter? Because shelter pets are screened for sound, health, and temperament?
I'm wet and cold!
Sassy, what about Johnny? What? Let Johnny sit in the well until he learns to be more self-reliant? Sassy!
What'd he say?
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
Now back to the Farkas Files with David Franklin Farkas on Empower Radio.
And we're back with my guest, Sabrina Fritz. And when last seen, you were telling us about your training and learning the new method. And I assume you were learning the reconnection. Is that right? Did we just have another glitch?
Yeah.
Well, come on back, Sabrina. Seems we had another electronic incident involving the energy, and we haven't had these in a while, but we used to have these on my show and on Corby's show before mine all the time. So
yeah, when last seen, I just poof disappeared like that.
We haven't had.
But
these
I didn't listen to all the commercials.
Right. We haven't had these glitches with the energy for a while. It's kind of amusing, even though it makes for very strange things. So it was the reconnection that you were being trained in.
Yes, actually it was. And, you know, I ended up advancing as a practitioner. I quit my human resources position. And the same year I did that, my husband's business tripled. So I was being fully supported by the universe to follow that path. And I loved it. I traveled internationally and taught others this amazing modality. And unfortunately, like some things have to come to an end. And I did leave in 2011, mainly because the organization wasn't ran by the same philosophy taught from stage. And that's huge in today's world. You know, when you peek behind the curtain and people aren't authentically showing up, it's hard to continue to stand by their side and put your name on them. And that's where I was. It was a very difficult decision, but it was the most appropriate one at the time. And so since that time, I do facilitate healing. I started doing a monthly, it's my give back to the community, and to a lot of people around the world participate in it. So it's a way of just connecting to that energy once a month and really allowing whatever we're holding on to, because that's what I find is my biggest challenge in life is the inability to let go and trust. And when I don't let go and trust, I get into a lot of trouble. I tend to hold on to things longer than I should. I tend to try to create an outcome that I feel is best rather than what is actually best on all levels. And if it doesn't come out the way I attach to, there's, you know, bitterness or resentment. So I have learned to really let go. And that is one of the things I have to do on a daily basis. Honestly, that is not something that, unfortunately, I've reached a level of enlightenment and put a certificate on my wall. And I no longer have to worry about letting go. I've achieved that level. Now I can go to the next. It is really honestly something. It's like working on my personal alignment, which I feel is there's nothing more important in our day than to tune in to our own alignment. And our body is a wonderful feedback system. It gives us information all the time, whether or not we're living from that place or if we're having some resistance.
Right.
And by tuning in, it made all the difference. So one of the things I do is on a monthly basis, I do a session called Joyful Freedom. And I invite whoever is open and willing to come on the 5th of every month. And it's at 10 p.m. Eastern time on the 5th of every month. And it's super easy. You don't have to call in. You don't have an access code. Just through your intention or your desire that you would like to participate. And people go about their daily work. Or some people choose to get very quiet and connect at that time to see what information comes through for them. So it's my way of staying connected with people and still offering something of service. And I find it, well, joyous, joyful, and freest. I love that. Where we should all be.
Right. And you couldn't be more out there than doing something that people don't even need to listen to. No.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, you have managed to master all of those things that you were afraid of, and now you do it without any of the hooks that people think they need. And which is fascinating for me. I do shamanic work and I'm a low drama shaman. I don't do rituals. I don't do ceremonies. None of that. I just shift where I have to look and do it. And there are so many traditions and some, you know, everybody learns by doing all of that stuff. But at some point, when you've learned what you need to learn, you don't need all the ritual and the tools and all the rest of the stuff. You realize it's all you anyway.
Exactly. I love that, the low drama. You know, it's so important to remember you have everything you already need. Mm-hmm. And that's why I loved, you know, connecting with people all around the world and teaching them. It was teaching them to remember to tap into what they already innately have available to them. It doesn't matter what you call it, or trademark, or register, or you already have the access to it. It's just remembering and reminding yourself and having the awareness to connect to that space. And then that's when everything becomes magical again. I mean, I remember as a kid just being enthralled with this magnificent playground in which I appeared, you know, and nature was the best way for me to connect right. to that realm. And, you know, I'm back there. I live on a mountaintop. Getting in nature is where I'm at home. And, you know, stepping outside, fresh air, just listening and tuning in. It is such a valuable resource, and we take it for granted, or most people don't even know they have that. They're so focused on forward movement and survival, actual survival in this world, that they're not allowing the possibility of thriving in ways that they've never experienced before.
And a lot of people live in environments where they really don't connect with nature. The urban environments and a lot of suburban environments at this point really don't have much of a way to connect with nature, which is debilitating.
It's sad.
It's sad, but it's also
I have a hard time going into the city for that reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I made a shift. It's so challenging.
I made a shift 2 years ago from downtown in a college town, which is where I needed to be for my kid for a certain period of time. And she went off to college, and I moved up here to a rural area and just an incredible spot. And where many mornings I will be texting my neighbor downstairs to say to give them the coyote sighting so they don't send the dogs out at that moment.
That's good. That's important.
Yeah.
And I hear you, you know, and then one good
sweet
for you.
Spot.
And you're right. A lot of people are in environments where they can't, but there are ways to connect to
right.
that nature, you know, have an indoor plant, make sure you have natural light in your home, burn some candle to clear the energy and clear the air, you know, essential oils can fake nature pretty well. You can get some pine, inhale that, then you can be on your mountaintop. You know,
right.
you have to be dedicated to finding ways that there's nothing more important than carving out that time, that self-indulgence. When you do that, when I had the always, it was the no time, no money. You know, when I'm getting this guidance that I need to go learn this healing modality, and I'm arguing with my guides, angels, higher self, whatever you want to call it, and saying, no, I don't have time or money to do that. You know, that was just lack limited consciousness. And they parted the seas so that I could see that actually I do have time and money.
Right.
And that this is important. And when you make it that a priority, I found the money comes easily. The time is easy. And when you invest just a few minutes of your day into yourself, you get that time back exponentially. That little investment, even if it's just 5 minutes of quiet time, whatever brings you joy. I'm a big proponent of the joy list. And that's what I coach people all the time about creating a joy list. You know, we have our to-do list. Many of us do. And that's what's usually running the show. But do we have our joy list? And that joy list simply consists of, you know, 5 things that bring you joy, that you love doing for no other reason than it makes you feel good. And when people take the time to carve out those 5 things, and you can do more if you want, but they're usually surprised that the majority, if not all of the items on that list, cost absolutely nothing.
Right.
So that gets
excuse. And it's so different from the idea of the bucket list, which has kind of taken over everybody's consciousness and really makes you think about what you don't have and what you haven't done. You know, here are these adventures that I would really like to do and, you know, why not? But not looking at what would work for me right now, right here, right now, what's going to make me feel good, what's going to fill me with joy. I love that. I love that. That's a wonderful way to look at it.
And it is so, you know, when you do invest in that little, that what's going to bring you joy, boy, I'll tell you what, you're going to see a lot more things that bring you joy. You know, it's the whole gratitude concept. What you focus, it's the Ho'oponopono. When you release or forgive, you move energy. You know, that's the thing. I love the fact that I was this uptight control freak and I was trying to control energy because everything is energy. So right. Everything's in constant motion. Talk about the impossible.
Right.
How do you control that?
Well, but that's the message of most churches, not just the Catholic Church, and certainly most school environments and the entire corporate world. Is here's the structure, here are the lines that you have to walk on, here's the rules, and as long as you do it the way we tell you to do it, everything is going to be fine, which of course isn't true, and you figure that out later, but
and it is, I mean, you know, and that's, you know, that whole structure that, and the, you know, that's why I've obviously I homeschooled my youngest daughter for 8 years, because I needed to get outside of the traditional school system, because she was too bright of a light, honestly, to survive in there. She wouldn't have been truly seen for who she is. And it would have damaged her self-esteem considerably. You know, it is, God, don't even get me started on the judicial system, which unfortunately I've had a lot of experience with this last 18 months as my adult son has struggled with choices and alcohol, including, which brought the police into his life on more than one occasion. And that, talk about a corrupt corporation. It's a sin what they're doing. They're not Catholic. What they're doing as far as the fees and everything. I mean, all these infrastructures, the government, you talked about politics to begin with, and that's not a subject I want to talk about because it doesn't feel good to me. But all of these infrastructures are begging right now to allow them to dismantle. And if we cling to them too tightly, we won't allow what can be. Because the fear of losing what we have, we're not going to allow the creation of something new.
Right.
And, you know, like these urban environments that you're talking about, look what's happening as people are building or growing gardens in these rural or these urban communities where they're food deserts.
Right.
And they don't have access to fresh food. So things are shifting, and that's, again, goes back to your little metaphysical musing of focusing on what we want rather than what we don't want. And it's that consideration of thought. And collectively, we have come together to somehow get a Donald Trump as a possible president, which, you know, I thought that was, you know, I agreed to my youngest daughter that we would relocate out of the country. Now I have to start looking at options. I didn't ever think that it would he'd actually get elected, you know. So I'm not sure what we can do. I know Canada won't take us probably, but well, you know, we have to really focus on shifting that mass consciousness, and we do it one person at a time. I mean, it is just so. It seems like we're not doing enough when we're just taking care of ourselves. But by taking care of ourselves first, we impact those in our inner circle, our loved ones, which impacts a bigger ripple, our community, our state, our country, our world. You know, that's what we have to keep doing. Put the focus on ourselves to do the best we can to take care of ourselves, give ourselves the alignment that we need to show up in a way that makes a positive impact in this world.
Even looking at it as the very simple metaphor of when the oxygen masks drop down in the airplane, put yours on first or you can't help anybody.
Exactly. Exactly. And I use that all the time because while it's rather simple, it makes complete sense. We're of no service if we're not taken care of first. And, you know, that whole martyrdom syndrome that I was suffering from, you know, it's like, how many piles of laundry do I have to do to prove myself worthy? You know, and you get to the point where the piles of laundry cause a lot of anger and frustration, right. You know, and that's not a good place to be. So I turned it around and went, wow, I can be joyful when I do laundry because I'm not taking it down to a river or having to beat it on rocks where a lot of people in this world do have to do laundry in that way.
Right. Right.
So we always have something to be grateful for. We can find joy in even the most minuscule tasks in our life.
One of the things that happened when I moved here is I have my own washer and dryer in the back
hall. Now that's a luxury, isn't it?
you know, after being in an apartment for 10 years where the washer and dryer were in a dungeon, you know, a really gross room. I was like, this is so wonderful. It's the little things. It's the little things. And continuing to appreciate them over time and not just letting it go. Because every time I go out
there. Yeah, when you let it fall into the background.
Yeah, every time I go out there and do my laundry, I'm like, this is so cool.
Yeah, so you could actually find joy in doing your laundry, which a lot of people can't say that. And that's the thing. It's like, it is that appreciation. And, you know, it's just a simple shift in your perception. That's all it took to be able to see things a little differently than you did before.
Right. And it's true for all kinds of things. All kinds of little things. It's what fascinates me is so many of those things you could look at either from a perspective of joy and enjoyment or fuss over it and be angry about it. And it's really just perspective. So I know people that are always annoyed at doing their laundry. Mm-hmm. No matter what.
Right. And it's going to probably be a challenge to try to shift them to see things differently. But that's not your job. Just be the example and find your balance in these things.
Well, and it's also, we live in a physical world and we have clothing and entropy means that stuff gets dirty. What do you think is going to happen? I mean, it just is how it is. They get dirty, you clean them. They get dirty, you clean them. It's just,
Yeah. I know, I haven't found the self-cleaning house yet, which I'm hoping that gets invented someday.
Yeah, I'm convinced the problem is horizontal surfaces. If all the surfaces were on an angle, the dust would just go down to the floor and we could just vacuum periodically. But
there you go.
Be harder to do a whole bunch of other things, but that's my theory and I'm sticking to it.
Maybe it's just surfaces in general.
We have to create surfaces that absorb the dust.
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, it is true. We always have a choice, and that's what it comes down to. And for many years, I chose, not necessarily consciously, but I chose to live a hard life, a difficult life with struggle and suffering. And that's not to say my life is perfect now. I have plenty of challenges that come my way. But I have definitely learned to let go and be in a place of detachment and surrender, which seems to be where the sweet spot is, because I find a lot more gifts and blessings there than anything else.
Well, and that's why all the major spiritual traditions talk about that.
Yeah. All over the world. Thank goodness we have that.
Right.
Available to us.
Right. And, you know, getting back to something you said earlier about the organization not being in alignment with the teaching, that goes on in spiritual traditions and organizations everywhere.
It definitely does. And it's kind of kept me hidden, honestly, on my mountaintop for a while. This last year, I've really gotten out in bigger ways. I've helped speakers and authors get speaking engagements. So I'm getting back out there, you know, feeling a little bit more secure, but it really did hold me back because it's like, is this how it's going to be with everybody? Is everybody this way? And the thing is I know I'm not.
Right.
And that's all I need to know. And by doing that, I've activated a vibration where I have attracted some of the most heart-centered and generous people in the world on a powerful mission with a strong give-back component. And that's conscious business. And that gets me really excited of the potential that shows up there.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the other people are doing. It just matters what you're doing and what you're creating. So I was just saying that in terms of not being particularly disappointed of that particular incident of a very common phenomenon.
I know. It's actually very common, and it's an unfortunate thing. And I've heard the term recently called a divine atrocity. Hmm. And Bas Jadi coined that, and he's shedding light on those perpetrators.
Right.
Who take advantage of, they put themselves on a pedestal and and unfortunately attract devotees in many ways.
Right. And
it does happen.
And some of them are charlatans from the beginning, and some of them, when they get power over people, start, you know, the power itself corrupts them.
Right.
And
but they're still powerful teachers.
Right. They still may have something very valuable, as long as you look at the part that's weird and go, no, he doesn't have that right.
Yeah, take what resonates, leave the rest behind, right?
Right. Anyway, we could talk endlessly about the various people that have done strange things along the way. Because there are so many.
Sure.
So many of them, but the point really is your own discernment, and if it doesn't feel right, or you see some piece of it that's not working, to just realize that's the part you don't want to be involved in, or walk away from the whole thing, which is what you did. Take the good stuff and leave the rest of it behind. So
exactly.
It's, you know, you've done such amazing stuff, and what you're offering is wonderful. So I'm very happy that our listeners can find your website, tune into what you're doing, and see if this is a modality and the person that they want to be working with. You're doing great stuff. I'm very excited about what you're doing.
Well, thank you, David.
Thank you.
Tell I really appreciate again. That. I appreciate this opportunity.
And I'll give you the recording so you can put this wherever you like. Tell people again where they can find you.
My website is sabrinafritz.com. That's S-A-B-R-I-N-A and F-R-I-T-T-S as in Sam. And I invite your listeners to join me if they like in the Joyful Freedom on the 5th of every month. Again, 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the 5th of every month. You can join my Facebook group for that, or look for more information on my website, and or just have the intention and don't do anything else at all and just be open to receiving.
Right. Do you have any other workshops or anything that are coming up?
Not at this time, but things are starting to percolate. I'm going to be launching a podcast here by the end of May with some other wonderful people that have great wisdom to share. And it's going to be on Wisdom Talk Radio on iTunes. So that will hopefully be out at the end of May 2016.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, this has been a total delight. I'm excited about what you're doing. So I'm so glad that you were able to be on the show.
I am as well. And thank you again, David. It's been a pleasure. And I look forward to more fun opportunities to play together.
Absolutely. And stay on the line afterwards, and we'll be able to chat a little bit after we go off the air. So my guest tonight has been Sabrina Fritz. Her website is sabrinafritz.com. Check it out. And if you got curious about who is this guy David and what in the world did he, what does he do? You can go to househealing.com, and cleverly hiding in plain view are every kind of technology for getting in touch with me, including a link to schedule a 20-minute free assessment of what's going on with person, place, situation, whatever it happens to be. And we can see if my work can be helpful to you. I do remote healing with people all over the world. So check it out. If you're curious about what's going on with the show, please go to thefarkasfiles.com. All the archive of all the shows are there, but the most exciting way right now to listen to the show is to get the Empower Radio app for your mobile phone, and you can just click on whichever shows interest you. And Empower Radio has shows 24 hours a day with positive messages. There's a lot of good stuff on Empower Radio besides my show. And my show is on every night at 9 p.m. One of the archive shows is on, and at 9 p.m. on Thursday, we obviously record the live show. So it's very exciting that you take a little bit of your day and your week and listen wherever you are, whenever you are. It's so cool, and it certainly makes it very exciting for me. So wherever you are, whenever you are, this is David Franklin Farkas for the Farkas Files. Thank you one and all for sharing your time with us. The truth is in here somewhere on Empower Radio. Have a fantastic week.